Give Us This Day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Friday of the Sunday next before Advent. The lesson is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Beloved, there are two things you need to know from this passage. First, the God that created the heavens and the earth is the one who preserves them and can also destroy them. Second, that God is not slack concerning his promises. Therefore, let us have confidence in our God, because he is an almighty God and is faithful to his good promises. St. Peter's words in 2 Peter 3, 1 through 10 deal with the coming of the Lord. As I mentioned on my meditations on Thessalonians, this coming of the Lord is something that Christians in Peter and Paul's day expected would happen in their lifetime. The coming of the Lord, then, may have reference to the destruction of the old covenant that happened with the destruction of the temple. If so, then the language Peter uses, which is the language of the Old Testament prophets, is figurative, apocalyptic language about the end of the world. And make no mistake, the coming of Jesus Christ and the destruction of the old covenant in its world was a cataclysmic event that truly brought in a new covenant and a new world. But because it did not come with the physical dissolution of the heavens and the earth, many have missed its significance. The coming of the Lord may also have reference to the second coming of the Lord. Obviously, that is an event that has not yet happened, in which case the passage is more directly applicable to us. In either case, St. Peter counsels faith and patience. The fact that the Lord tarries creates the potential for impatience, frustration, discouragement, and hopelessness. In fact, since the Lord tarries in many ways and not just in his second coming, Christians are always faced with the fact that the God we are sure exists and loves us does not always come to us in the way and at the time we want him to. Whenever we face various trials and sufferings, and immediate comfort is not forthcoming, we are tempted to say, Where is the promise of his coming? Verse 4. Maybe we have prayed, maybe we have even tried to be faithful in the things he has told us to do that are part of the answer to our prayers. But God waits. The pain becomes greater, and our resolve to patiently wait for the Lord weakens. Things seem desperate, and we continue to cry out, And still the Lord waits. The temptation to impatience and frustration, to discouragement and hopelessness, is a very real one in the Christian life, because Christians are never promised that they will be immunized against the pain of living in a fallen world. But we have been given even greater promises. God has promised that his desire is that not any of us perish, verse 9. He has promised to be with his people, and to abide in them if they abide in him. He has promised to be our God, and that we will be his people. And he's promised that he will dwell with men and seals and guarantees his promises by sending us his Holy Spirit. Our God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who destroyed the world in the days of Noah. He is the one who preserves the world even as you are hearing this. He is the one who will preserve you this little child of his. Therefore, if the Lord waits to come to you, or if he comes to you in a less visible way than you desired, be assured that he is doing what he does for your good. Remember who the Lord is, not just his power and glory, but his love and his promises. Remember the covenant he has made with you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and rejoice. God knows your pain and discouragement, and has promised to be with you through it, if you will wait on him. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise to you, but is indeed long-suffering towards us. As his child, then, participate in his long-suffering by waiting on the one who has promised himself to you.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.